Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to the Cook and Joe Show. We're pleased to be joined on the line. I can't tell you how happy. I consider this man a friend, and I consider him certainly a friend of our show. I'm talking about the great Doc Emmerich, the voice of the NHL on NBC. Doc, did you make it to Philadelphia okay?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you probably hear a lot of raucous music in the background. I am sitting in one of the two penalty boxes. I don't know which one this is destined to be because I just got here and I don't know who's occupying which bench. I guess I'll have a better idea once the team's practiced today of who's at which bench. But I'm sitting in a penalty box staring across the ice surface. I've just talked to Dan Craig, who is the ice guru for the league. And so I'm on arrival by about 10 minutes and I'm here and delighted to talk to you. And that's a ball outside. 1-0 now to Josh Bell.
Well, you'll be doing that soon enough. You'll be sitting next to me on opening day, Doc. That's our tradition. Doc, what are
That'll
you?
That'll be fun.
What are you hearing about?
I like our chances to be 2-1 through Cincinnati, but I imagine they got Wainwright waiting for us on opening day.
No, it's going to be an interesting season. We'll talk a little bit at the end here about the Pirates. What are you hearing about the weather for tomorrow night?
Well, the forecast is the latest forecast now is for at least a half an inch of rain coming in the evening hours. The last I knew, 8 p.m. Eastern time is defined as evening. But locals are telling me that there is this gap that is expected that might actually work out to our advantage to do this. So it all depends on who you talk to, and there is so much that can happen in the next 18 hours or so before we get close to that, that all I can tell is what the Weather Channel had on when I landed here about an hour ago, and that was that there was to be rain tomorrow night, and it was to go overnight. But those folks from the league office, not the ice guru, because they only follow what what the decision is about how the game goes, but the folks at the league office are monitoring this, and they'll make a decision and make it well in advance if it winds up being a delay or something like that. The two curses of outdoor games, as you know, are sun, which won't be an issue, of course, tomorrow night, and rain, which might be. I'll never forget Brooks Orpik telling me this story. He was playing for the Penguins at the time, and many of your listeners were probably at Heinz Field when they were playing Washington. And that had been postponed from 1 to 8 o'clock. And even at that, there was still rain evening. But he said, I remember we were doing the warm-up and going D-to-D with passes like you do during the warm-up before the game. And there was a rooster tail going off the puck as I passed it back and forth D-to-D. That's not exactly what you want or expect in games, but sometimes it's what you get.
Doc, do you still are these outdoor games still cool? I mean, obviously the first one in Buffalo was snow globe-like conditions. Sid scores the winning goal in the shootout. It was marvelous. Is it still a cool thing?
Yeah, it is. You know, the Penguins bus got snowballed that day. I don't think that's in the plans for tomorrow here, but it is Philadelphia. so you never know. They may find snowballs somewhere. I don't know. But no, these are still exciting, and they're still an event. I mean, you sit in the front row here, which is a magnificent seat for an Eagles game, but as you look out on the field from the front row, you're seeing guys from, probably the waist down, or I'm sorry, the waist up, or maybe from the chest up, moving around for some unknown reason because you're not able to see the movement of the puck, and you're not able to see their skates. But as you go up higher and you get into the cheaper seats, well, you're able to see the whole thing. But it's more of an event to be sitting at and to see, and that's the real selling point, that you were there with almost 70,000 people, or maybe tomorrow to wind up being even more than that. I don't know. I haven't even checked into how the ticket sales are going. But people still seem to like hosting them. There still seems to be a market for them. I have never been in Lincoln Financial Field until about 20 minutes ago, so it's exciting for me. And these games always have a lot of ceremony at the start that gets your blood going, too. And the fact that it's these two teams means an awful lot, because not only the rivalry in geography, but the rivalry of recent history and snarl and all of those things. There is traditionally a handshake at the end of these games, but you may remember the one at Heinz Field with Washington. There was not. And I'll not be shocked if there's not tomorrow.
We're talking to Doc Emmerich, the voice of the NHL on NBC.
Doc, Joe Starkey, good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Joe.
I'm curious, so far you've called a number of these. What was the most sort of breathtaking venue that one of these has been held in so far?
Michigan Stadium. And probably second was Notre Dame Stadium. And I think Michigan Stadium for several reasons. One, it blew the doors off all of the existing records at 105,000. Two, because it was delayed a year, we had that awful lockout that lasted an entire season, so it was postponed for a year. Three, because it was 50-50. Because of the location of Ann Arbor near Detroit, you had about half of the crowd was in blue Leafs jerseys, and half the crowd was wearing Detroit jerseys, because Southwest Ontario is 1 mile across the bridge from Detroit. And so you had, it was about equally divided in terms of fan population. You had the introduction of the 2014 U.S. Women's Olympic team during one of the intermissions. So there were a lot of people that stayed around through the intermission for that. But more importantly, you had a wonderful game that went into overtime and also went to a shootout before Tyler Bozak ended it. And moreover, the guys that expended the most energy were the guys with the shovels, because it snowed all day. The Leafs bus was late getting to the dressing room at Michigan Stadium in terms of when they wanted to get there. It wasn't late in terms of the warm-up or the start of the game, but they were tied up in traffic because of all the snow. It snowed solidly all day. And it continued, and it took a long time for people to get out of town that day, because the golf course at Michigan Stadium, which normally is a place where people park on football game days, was not available because of all the snow. And so people had to park just about everywhere, and it took them forever to get out of town. And yet I look back on it as one of the great memories I've ever had in being at a sports event, because it was so cold. It was, I think, 18 degrees at the start, and it was so chaotic that at the end of the day, he just laughed and said, well, it turned out to be a really good game, and I hope people enjoyed it.
Doc, I want to ask you about 39 years ago today was the Miracle on Ice. What do you remember about that?
I was in Halifax, Nova Scotia, with a delightful group of thugs called the Maine Mariners. We were a Philadelphia farm club, and you have to remember that at that time, fighting was allowed in professional hockey. It was, as a matter of fact, because we were a Flyers farm team, it was encouraged. We only had one American on the team. The rest were Canadians and one member of the Czech Republic who had defected. And so it was largely a group of Canadians who were a little bit shocked that the United States team had defeated the Russians, but I did not see the game at all because we had a game that night. So I just learned later on that that's what had happened, that they had pulled off this miracle on ice. And so I wanted to obviously see it. And it was replayed. At least the highlights were replayed later that night. But what a magnificent thing.
Doc, let's talk Penguins a little bit. I know you haven't been to Pittsburgh this year, which is amazing and sad. We always love having you here in town, but you've had a chance to see them a little bit. They've been very up and down, really took a licking last night from San Jose. Do you still look at them? I mean, they're clinging to a playoff spot. Are they still a legitimate cup contender in your mind?
All you got to do is get in. There's one unbelievable contender, and that's Secretariat down in Tampa. The rest, all they have to do is get in, and they can be dangerous. Tampa's vulnerability, just to digress on them for a moment, I think the only thing that they might be vulnerable in is size, and I think that's what Washington exploited last year. Eventually, late in the series, they'd worn them down. But Tampa is just head and shoulders above everybody. It's shown in the standings and their ability to score and prevent. But the rest of the teams, all they have to do is get in, and they can do some damage. Can they win the ultimate prize? Boy, that's going to be hard this year unless Tampa stubs its toe. But in a salary cap era, you usually don't have somebody that's so decisive a favorite as the Lightning. So in answer to your question, yes. I mean, the Flyers have won 8 in a row this year. The Penguins have won 8 in a row. Buffalo's won 10 in a row. I mean, you have these teams that are just struggling to get in. St. Louis won 11 in a row, but earlier they were in last place in January. The Flyers were in last place in January. Chicago was in last place in January. So what this long-winded answer means, Ron, is that anybody is a contender and anybody can get in the playoffs if they just put something together. And these guys have the firepower to do it. I was just looking. They've got three guys that have 8 power play goals. That's 24 out of the 41 they've gotten. And so they've got that kind of danger. There are some scary parts about them. You know, the goaltending hasn't been terribly consistent. Some nights it's been left out to dry by a defense. I think having Schultz back will mean an awful lot. You know, he's only played 8 games this year. And when he gets back and really gets the full bore, I think that'll mean a lot to the power play too. But in essence, all you got to do, as that notable sage Bob Walk told me last spring down in Bradenton, all you got to do is make the cut in hockey. All you got to do is make the cut.
Getting back to the Miracle on Ice for a moment, Doc, let me test your knowledge of broadcasting history. I was told that a man named Joe Starkey, believe it or not, was the only person to call that game live on the radio. And, of course, it's the Joe Starkey from the Bay Area who preceded Mike Lang calling Penguins games here and who called the famous Band on the Field play. Do you know if that's true?
I do know of one other person who did call the game live in the United States. And I spoke with him about it for an upcoming thing that I am doing in writing, and I'll share it with you. How much time do we have? I need a
couple minutes.
I may need to
2 minutes.
Okay. His name is Sandy Vigilante, and he still to this day works in Lake Placid. At that time, the way it worked in the Olympics is that the host city could also broadcast selected events. And so this radio station in Saranac Lake, for which he worked, was allowed to broadcast selected events. And so he was designated as the hockey guy. And even though there was not a live broadcast going on, he was able to do it. And because the game was late afternoon into the early evening, and because that station reduced power at local sunset, there were fewer people that were able to listen to his broadcast as the game went on, because they reduce power at local sunset. So anyway, that's one person I know that did the game live, and I think he's still got a tape of it somewhere. And he still works in Lake Placid.
Doc, we appreciate your time. We're going to have you on again before opening day, but are you buying the Pirates? You don't have to spend money to win. That's what Nutting told us the other day.
Yeah, I know. I know that it's an awful division to compete in without money. Because you know the three teams at the top have it and they're spending it. It just makes it very hard.
Doc, we'll look forward to your call tomorrow. The NHL just sent out a statement, by the way. Despite all the speculation, they're proceeding as planned for tomorrow night, and they're not going to have another update until noon tomorrow. So,
okay. I appreciate your letting me in on that, and I will come. I've got galoshes here, and they still sell those. I've got galoshes here, and I'm ready to work, and I appreciate hearing from you two guys. And I have been assigned to a game at PPG on St. Patrick's Night, and it's the renewal of the Battle of Pennsylvania, and I'm so thrilled I'll get to be in Pittsburgh.
You have not been here all year, and we've missed you, man. Doc, as always, thank you for your time. We'll look forward to your great work tomorrow night on NBC.
Thanks, Doc.
It'll be fun. Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. I love talking to him.
Wonderful stuff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.